mercy to the worlds, the mercy to the worlds, the mercy to the worlds, the mercy to the worlds, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Please repeat after me. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. Viewers of Madni Channel, welcome back to YOLO Series 3, The Mercy to the Worlds. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Last week we learned about the prophetic treatments and Alhamdulillah the du'as that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam taught us. And Alhamdulillah it was a magnificent journey that we are still on through the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Time is very special. Now to today's question. A very interesting, very important question. You know, the prophets were blessed with miracles, and today we're going to touch on some of them, and over the next few episodes, we're going to concentrate on some more. And we, in the last series we did, when we looked at the magnificent prophets of Allah, the magnificent messengers, you'll remember, we talked about all the miracles that the prophets had. So you had Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam with the staff and his hand and parting the seas and hitting the rock and 12 springs gushing forth and lots more. Then you had the great Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, you know, bringing the dead back to life, curing the blind, curing the leper, making food enough for people. So all these great prophets, all these amazing miracles. The question is this: which prophet, alayhi salam, did Allah azza wa jal bless with the most miracles? That is the question for today. Now we move on. So, alhamdulillah, again we've got a beautiful kalam for you, and this is to get us into that mood for the Rabiul Nusheef, the blessed month of the birth of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But just imagine if it's this time of the year and you are in Madinatul Munawwara. Just imagine if you're studying from to the Rawza Mubarak of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just imagine what that moment, what that time would be like. It would be amazing. Let's listen to this beautiful kalam by Rukni Shura Abdul Habib At-Tari Dawud Barakatum Al-Aliyah. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
مدینے جانے والو جاؤ جاؤ فی امان اللہ مدینے جانے والو جاؤ جاؤ فی امان اللہ کبھی تو اپنا بھی لگ جائے گا بستر مدینے میں نہ ہو مایوس دیوانوں پکارے جاؤ تم ان کو نہ ہو مایوس دیوانوں پکارے جاؤ تم ان کو بلائیں گے تمہیں بھی ایک دن سرور مدینے میں سرور مدینے میں سوچتا ہوں میں وہ گھڑی کیا جب گھڑی ہوگی سوچتا ہوں میں وہ گھڑی کیا جب گھڑی ہوگی جب درے نبی پر ہم سب کی حاضری ہوگی جب درے نبی پر ہم سب کی حاضری ہوگی سوچتا ہوں میں وہ گھڑی کیا جب گھڑی ہوگی آرزو ہے سینے میں گھر بنے مدینے میں آقا آرزو ہے سینے میں گھر بنے مدینے میں ہو کرم جو بندے پر بندہ پروری ہوگی ہو کرم جو بندے پر بندہ پروری ہوگی
بندہ پروری ہو
سوچتا ہوں میں وہ گھڑی کیا جب گھڑی ہوگی جب درے نبی پر ہم سب کی حاضری ہوگی بات کیا ہے باد سبا اتنی کیوں معطر ہے بات کیا ہے باد سبا اتنی کیوں معطر ہے سبز سبز گنبد کو چوم کر چلی ہوگی سبز سبز گنبد کو چوم کر چلی ہوگی سوچتا ہوں میں وہ گھڑی کیا جب گھڑی ہوگی جب درے نبی پر ہم سب کی حاضری ہوگی سو کھلیں گے اس کے لیے رحمتوں کے دروازے سو کھلیں گے اس کے لیے رحمتوں کے دروازے نعت مصطفیٰ جس نے ایک بھی سنی ہوگی نعت مصطفیٰ جس نے ایک بھی سنی ہوگی سوچتا ہوں میں وہ گھڑی کیا جب گھڑی ہوگی جب درے نبی پر ہم سب کی حاضری ہوگی دیکھ تو نیازی ذرا سو گیا کیا دیوانا دیکھ تو نیازی ذرا سو گیا کیا دیوانا ان کی یاد میں شاید آنکھ لگ گئی ہوگی ان کی یاد میں شاید آنکھ لگ گئی ہوگی سوچتا ہوں میں وہ گھڑی کیا جب گھڑی ہوگی جب درے نبی پر ہم سب کی حاضری ہوگی بلا لو ہم غریبوں کو بلا لو اے میرے آقا میں آؤں آپ کے در پر کرم ہو اے میرے آقا
SubhanAllah, what a beautiful kalam, and it brings back the memories of Madinatul Munawwara. May Allah Azawajal give us all the opportunity to visit time and time again. And once in our lifetimes, may we have the opportunity to be in those blessed lands during the month of Rabiul Nur Sharif. What a beautiful kalam it was. It really brings out that love and emotion. And we need to keep that, and we need to increase our love of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the way to do that is to act upon the teachings of Aqa Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to listen to these beautiful kalams that bring out the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to send durood as salam upon the beloved Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam abundantly. We're going to move to our first segment. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
The mercy to the world.
Now you remember that last week, alhamdulillah, we were learning about what Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam taught us in relation to the way we live our lives. And the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was decorated with du'as and the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. And different, and almost everything that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam did, Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a supplication in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. And made a supplication in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal afterwards. So when it was eating food, doing anything else. And then when we have a difficulty, when we have a calamity, when we have a problem, then we first of all try to solve it ourselves. We shout and we scream at our children, etc. And then eventually we try to ask people. And when nobody else can help us and we can't help ourselves, then we turn to Allah Azza wa Jal. That is not the way of the pious predecessors. That is not what Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us. These prophetic supplications, the supplications that Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, are there throughout our lives. Our daily life should be filled with du'as in the court of Allah azza wa jal, from the moment we wake up, to breakfast, to leaving the home, to getting in the car, to everything we do. And whenever something difficult happens, some calamity comes, some problems come, straight away, we should be reciting durood e paak upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then making dua in the court of Allah azza wa jal. And the reason I say durood e paak at this point is this, that the scholars say that durood e paak in fact is a dua. So you are supplicating in the court of Allah azza wa jal, and you're saying, Ya Allah azza wa jal, send blessings and salutations upon your beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Durood wa salam. Now, when you're asking for blessings to be sent by the Creator Supreme to the best of His creation, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the scholars say that is a dua which will be accepted. It will never, never be refused. So if you start your supplication with durood e paak upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before your dua, and then finish, make your humble supplications in between, and finish with durood e paak upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then the beauty of this will be that because the first dua is bound to be accepted and the last dua is bound to be accepted, then through the mercy of Allah azza wa jal, what you've put in between, the Creator will accept as well and fulfill your desires. And the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is decorated with this. So at the time of calamity, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever recites this supplication 3 times in the morning and evening shall be saved from the calamities of the world. And the translation is, in the name of Allah, by whose name nothing harms on earth or in the heavens, and He is the all-hearing, all-knowing. A beautiful supplication. And then there were other supplications that we mentioned last week. You know, for every moment of your life, Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us many, many supplications. Even when you were in fear, when you were in debt, and when it was the day of Jummah, different things. Then Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left us many supplications, which were a treasure. And these supplications were to cure illness and for every element of your life. Now here, I'm going to give you a very good pointer. There is an amazing book that has been published by Dawat Islami. Amir al-Sunnat it's a masterpiece. You can download it for free of dawateislami.net. And if you go to dawateislami.net, the book section, it is called Madni Treasure of Blessings. Now I'm going to just read through the contents for you, because it will give you a good idea of what I'm talking about. Because if you could read this book regularly, it would transform your life. In this book, you will have the spiritual cures for security in the home, cure for headaches, cure for nosebleeds, cures for protecting your belongings from jinn, protecting yourself against enmity, protecting, curing illnesses, security from thieves and sudden death, security from calamities. And then the various
surahs of the Quran which provide specific benefits for specific things. Those are all listed. Then you have cleansing of the heart, salvation from worries and misery, excellence of asking for forgiveness in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. And then ailments, blessings for everyday life, du'as you can read. But then if you have ailments, you have illnesses, specific remedies for different illnesses, specific wazaif for these particular difficulties that you encounter every day. And they range from not only you know, the food, how to eat and how to sleep and etc., but they range to trading, applying oil, when you're blessed with blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal, how to protect from poisonous creatures, how to protect from the evil eye, how to stay out of acute danger, how to seek refuge from disbelief and destitution, how to improve your eyesight, how to protect your salah, how to shroud the deceased. Du'as for almost every occasion, being bitten by an animal, how to improve brain power, how to protect from leprosy and jaundice, how to increase sustenance, security from calamities, fulfillment of needs, the du'as at the time of snowfall, at the time of rain, refuge from the shaitan, strengthening the memory, curing lisp, relief from abdominal pain, and the list carries on. This book is magnificent. Honestly, if you go to the Maktabat of Dawat Islami, you will get this. I would say get a physical copy. It only costs a few pounds, but it is a must in every home. And whenever you have a difficulty, rather than blaming this person and going to that person and asking this person, go to this book and look at the spiritual cure. And the spiritual cures here are from the Quran and the beautiful hadith of Mubarak of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Take them from there and alhamdulillah, watch it transform your life. Now, alhamdulillah, those were the du'as that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us. So as you can see now, we're building a picture where Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life Mubarak that we journeyed through was magnificent. But when one concentrates on any one particular aspect, whether it was the way Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ate, whether it's the way Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam behaved, whether it's the way Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us supplications, everything was amazing. Now we turn to those very important people in the household of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because as devotees of the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we should at least know very briefly who people were in the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's blessed wives, Ummahatul Mu'mineen, the mothers of the believers. They, the scholars write, were 11. Now, what does the Quran say about them? Surah Ahzab, verse 32. O wives of the Prophet, you are not like other women. Why? Because they were the best. They were way above status from all the women of the world. Then the Quran goes on to say, and his wives are their mothers, i.e. to the believers. So the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are the mothers of the believers. And the hukum for us is to respect them even more than we do our mothers. And this was the very special status they gained because they were the wives of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, I'll read you the names. Hazrat Sayyidina Khadija, Hazrat Sayyidina Umm Habiba radiallahu ta'ala anha, Hazrat Sayyidina Aisha bint Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anha, Hazrat Umm Salma radiallahu ta'ala anha, Hazrat Sayyidina Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala anha, Hazrat Sayyidina Sauda radiallahu ta'ala anha, Hazrat Sayyidina Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha, Hazrat Sayyidina Maymuna radiallahu ta'ala anha, Hazrat Sayyidina Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha, Hazrat Sayyidina Jubairiyya radiallahu ta'ala anha, and Hazrat Sayyidina Safiyya radiallahu ta'ala anha. These were the blessed mothers of the believers, the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and every one of them was special. And if you look at the history, there was reasons as well that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married these, that Allah Azza wa Jal gifted these amazing women into the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But they were often the daughters of leaders of different tribes from different areas, etc. For example, Hazrat Sayyidina Umm Habiba radiallahu ta'ala anha was the daughter of Hazrat Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala anha. So these were the different you know, tribes that all eventually came into Islam, but not necessarily at the time that Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married the particular wife. For example, when Hazrat Umme Habiba radiallahu ta'ala anha came into the nikah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at that time, Hazrat Sayyidina Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala anha hadn't accepted Islam. And there was a famous incident, you remember, I think we mentioned it as well, when we were through our journey through the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he came to Medina to see his daughter, and when he came into the house, she quickly removed the bedcloth that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used. And he thought that she was removing it because they didn't have the worldly means. And he said, why have you removed it? And he said, no. She said, no, oh my father, you are a disbeliever. And this is the pure cloth of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I can't allow you to sit on this. And the father was amazed. That look at the honor and respect. Yet he's the father, but she wouldn't even let the father rest on the cloth that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used. And these were the amazing Ummahatul Mu'mineen. Now from all of them, the one that was magnificent, they were all brilliant, but the one that shone above all was Hazrat Khatijatul Kubra radiallahu ta'ala anha, the mother of the believers. She was truly amazing. There are a lot of scholars who say that she was the first person to embrace Islam. She was the first to offer support to the Messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal. And when everybody opposed him at the beginning of Islam, Hazrat Khadijah al-Kubra radiallahu ta'ala anha was the one who stood by his side. The world could do anything, but this amazing, amazing wife of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a pillar by his side. And her status, I'm going to move on very quickly. I'm going to read one hadith of Mubarakah and you will know her amazing status. As this Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrates, the Sayyidina Jibreel once came to the Messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal. And Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Ghari Hira, was busy worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal. And Hazrat Jibreel Amin comes and says, and Hazrat Khatijatul Kubra radiallahu ta'ala anha was bringing some food for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And those of you who've been to Makkatul Mukarrama and know that Ghari Hira, Jabal Nur, it is very difficult to climb. Even now that there's a pathway and there's some steps, it's still very difficult. Can you imagine in those times, hot Arabian Peninsula, and it's a straight mountain? And Hazrat Khatijatul Kubra radiallahu ta'ala knows that the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is busy with his creator. And so he needs food. And they climb this mountain. Listen to what happened next. Hazrat Jibreel Amin came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, this is Khadija coming to you with a bowl of meat soup or some food or drink. When she reaches you, convey to her greetings from her Lord and from me, and give her glad tidings of having a palace made from hollowed pearls in Jannah, in paradise. Therein there will neither be any noise nor any hardship. Sahih Bukhari Sharif. Can you imagine that? That Allah Azza wa Jal is giving salam to Hazrat Khatijatul Kubra radiallahu ta'ala anha. Subhanallah. Is sending blessings upon her. This is how amazing this Ummahat, this mother of the believers was. And every one of them were magnificent. Then we move on to the other people in Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam's life mubarak. So you had the blessed mothers of the believers, but then you also had children. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had, according to most riwayats, 6, but some say 7 children. And they, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, the children of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were themselves amazing, especially the blessed daughters. The two sons were named Sayyidina Qasim and Sayyidina Ibrahim. Both died at a young age. 4 daughters, Hazrat Sayyidina Zainab, Hazrat Sayyidina Ruqayya, Hazrat Sayyidina Umm Kulthum, and Hazrat Sayyidina Fatimatu Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha. And then those were the children of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I won't go into any detail about them, but I'm going to move to the paternal uncles. Now, there's different riwayats, but from his father's side, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the son of Hazrat Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. But from that side, he, according to some riwayats, had 12 uncles. Some say 10, but the Mustanad riwayat is 12. Hazrat Abdul Muttalib had 12 sons, and out of them, obviously, the two that accepted Islam were the great Sayyidina Amir Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, who was martyred on the plains of Uhud Sharif, and Hazrat Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu ta'ala. And out of the despicable one was Abu Lahab, who opposed Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam all his life. Then there were aunts of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then there were close servants, Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala, Sayyidina Rabi ibn Ka'b al-Aslami radiallahu ta'ala, Umm Ayman, and Hazrat Sayyidina Abdullah bin Masood radiallahu ta'ala, and the list carries on. But these were the people who were close to the Messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal. And then you had the four close friends, the four yars. You had the great yarighar, the friend of the cave, Hazrat Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the magnificent. Then you had the great Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, under whose leadership Islam spread throughout the world. You had Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who at different times was married to two of the daughters of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam and is called the one with two lights. And then you had Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, cousin and very close to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These were the close companions of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life and every aspect was amazing. And even the people who came into the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the family members and the friends and companions were truly amazing. Allah Azza wa Jal say only had the best for his beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So each one of these great personalities, if you study their lives, each one of them shone because they were at the feet of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What did Allah Hazrat say? Chamak tujhse paate hain sab paane wale. Mera dil bhi chamka de, chamkane wale. These were amazing people. Now we're going to move on to another amazing section. It is around the miracles of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what can I say? Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had some amazing and stunning miracles. Now, let me define to you what a miracle is. The scholars write that a miracle is defined as an extraordinary act or event defying the laws of nature that occurs at the hands of a prophet as testimony to the veracity of his prophethood. That's the exact definition. So, when the prophets of Allah Azza wa Jal came over time, from Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam all the way through to the great Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, the people questioned them and they said, well, how do we know that you are the prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal? You are like us. And this is where the prophets were gifted great miracles by Allah Azza wa Jal. And they said, no, you are limited by science and physics and your nature and everything else. But Allah Azza wa Jal gives prophets these special powers, these miracles, which differentiates them from the ordinary person. It is a divine sign which shows you that this prophet is truthful. And it defies custom. It's not normal. So it's something which is extraordinary. And so this became a symbol for the prophets. And you know the greats. The great prophets of Allah Azza wa Jal had miracles. Now the scholars write that there are four different types or categories of miracles. The act or event itself is wholly contrary to nature, human capabilities, and outward causes and reasons, such as the splitting of the moon, for example. Then there are some, the second category, where in itself, it's not necessarily contrary to custom, yet the sudden emergence of this becomes amazing. For example, during one of the battles, a wind blew and it uprooted all the tents and everything that the disbelievers had. And the timing was perfect. Now, a wind in itself is nothing special. Winds do occur and you do have blizzards and everything else. But the timing was such that that was one type, a category. And then the third, they say that neither is the event nor the occurrence something against custom. But the real essence is that it comes at the supplication of the prophet. So a prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal makes a supplication in the court of Allah, and suddenly that thing happens. That is another miracle. And here the example is that a Bedouin comes to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's not rained in Madinatul Munawwara for so long. We are dying, our animals are dying and everything else. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam raised their beautiful hands and make a dua in the court of Allah and it starts to rain the following week. And this is out of the blue. Now rain is normal. For it to rain is normal. But because it was a direct supplication, that is, makes it amazing. And then the following week, the beautiful end to the story was that the same person or other person stands up and says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's been raining so much that the rain is now causing damage. And can you stop it raining? And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes a supplication and says, do not rain in Medina, but around the outskirts, so you continue to rain. Look at the power Allah gives to his beloveds. And then the fourth category, the scholars write, at times the event or occurrence may neither be contrary to custom nor natural laws, nor in its method of coming into existence. However, the prior informing of the Prophet of the event is a miracle. And there are hundreds and hundreds of these. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam predicted different things, and Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would tell the companions and that thing would happen. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this will happen like this, and it would happen exactly like that. And that is another category of the miracles of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, miracles of the prophets, as I've described, Allah Azza wa Jalla gifted them. So let me give you some examples. Hazrat Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. Now he was given the great staff. This was the great miracle of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. And when the magicians turned up and they threw their ropes and they created an illusion to suggest that they were snakes and the people started to run in fear, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam threw the staff Mubarak, Asa Mubarak, and it swallowed everything. And the magicians realized straight away that what we had done was trickery. But what Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam has done is not trickery. That is true. This is a miracle. And that's why immediately they fell into prostration. And they, Allah Azza wa Jal blessed them with Iman. And you know, these magicians were granted Iman by Allah Azza wa Jal. They fell into prostration and they said, we accept the Rabb, the Lord of Musa and Harun. Why? The scholars write something very beautiful. They say, well, what happened is when the magicians arrived in the court of Pharaoh, Pharaon, they were very respectful to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. And they said, shall we go first or do you want to go first? And that wasn't boasting. They were just being respectful in the court of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. And the scholars write that because they showed respect, love, and affection towards Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, the reward was that Allah Azza wa Jalla granted them Iman. And subhanAllah, this is the beauty of honor and respects of the beloveds of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Then you had Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. Now, Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam's time was the time of medicine, curing. And the doctors at the time, history will tell you, were doing well with medicine. People were being cured for certain ailments. But there were certain things that even the doctors couldn't figure out. There were people who were born blind and the doctors couldn't do anything. They still can't do anything for them. Then there were people who had leprosy and other ailments. And then above all else, if somebody had died, the doctor can't do anything. When it came to Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, this amazing prophet of Allah Azza wa Jalla, he was granted miracles. He could make an eye, put it into the socket of a person who was born blind, and that person could see. The world had not seen anything like it. He could cure the leper, and he could even bring the dead back to life. Wow. An amazing, amazing miracle. And he did this several times during his lifetime. Amazing miracles of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, and he had many, many more as well. So all these prophets, from the great Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam to Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, they all had miracles and mu'jizat that Allah Azza wa Jalla had blessed them with. Hazrat Sayyidina Saleh alayhi salam, his people used to carve out structures in mountains, and he made a supplication in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the mountain split open, and a pregnant she-camel came out. And he said, this is the she-camel of Allah, a sign for you. That was his great miracle. Now, all these prophets came to particular nations. All these prophets came to either areas or people, and they invited them to Islam. And they all had miracles that they showed those people. But geographically and time-wise, these prophets were restricted. They came to a particular area, they came at a particular time, then the next prophet came, their era ended, the next prophet's era took over. And so they were limited in their scope. And so their miracles were confined to those times. But when it came to the beloved of Allah Azza wa Jal, the last and final messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal, then if every prophet had miracles in accordance with his time and the people, the nation he came to, and the span of his prophethood, that was limited, then what miracles did the prophet who was the final messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal, who was now going to remain the prophet forever, the last and final messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal, and there was no prophet after him, and there was no time limit on his prophethood, what would you accept? What would you expect his miracles, or how many would you expect? Well, the scholar says this, Allah Azza wa Jal granted him all the miracles of the previous prophets, making him the compendium of all of them. He was granted a vast array of mu'jizat, miracles, because he was the universal messenger. He didn't come just to a particular country, a particular town, a particular area, in a particular time. No. Our beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the universal messenger. He was the messenger throughout the universe. And therefore his miracles would be spread throughout the universe. He was the messenger for the entire time. And therefore his miracles would be spread over the entire time that remained. He would be the messenger for the people of all eras, all ages, all races, all social status, all religions, and all mindsets. He was the universal prophet of everything that Allah Azza wa Jal had created. And so, because miracles were granted to prophets considering their place, when it came to the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what the scholars write is something amazing. They say that every moment of his existence, every moment of his daily life, every action, every statement, every mannerism was a miracle. Subhanallah. How blessed are we to be the ummatis of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They say that included in the vast array of miracles, which are endless, tere to wasf, aib tanahi se hain bari, hairan hu mere shah main kya kya kahun tujhe, ki all these amazing miracles, but the greatest unchangeable, unchallengeable miracle of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the everlasting miracle, the glorious Quran. Every verse of this Quran shows manifest signs and amazing, and it is a light shining forth. It is a proof, and it is so brilliant that when one reads the Quran, he falls in love with Sahib al-Quran, the one who brought it, and accepts the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the best of creation of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is what mu'jizat are. And when it came to our beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Allah Azza wa Jal gave Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more miracles than we can imagine. Indeed, it says here that volumes and volumes have been written on this topic and still not been able to do justice to the miracles of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whether it is wrestling the great wrestler of Arabia and throwing him to the ground, to the heavenly journeying and ascent into the heavens in a split second, to Sidratul Muntaha, to the Arsh of Allah Azza wa Jalla and beyond, whether it's splitting the moon into two by just gesturing towards it, recalling the sun after it is set, or stopping the sun in its place, witnessing the flag of Islam waving high in the lands of Byzantine and Persia when striking a rock during the Battle of the Trenches, or making water gush out from between the blessed fingers, to making food enough for an army which was only enough for a few, and taking people who were ill and curing them immediately, insane people, and bringing them back to sanity. The miracles of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam are so vast, so amazing, and so deep that we could spend our lives on this topic and still not do justice to it. Now, what we're going to do is briefly, over the next three or four episodes, we're going to go through in detail some of these amazing miracles of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you know, a miracle, as I've described, is something extraordinary. Just the beauty of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was extraordinary. You know, when you ask the companions like the great Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala, which is the most beloved thing to you in the world? His answer was the beautiful face of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, the companions couldn't stay away because Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'm talking about, you know, you've got the physical miracles that we've talked about, splitting the moon and bringing the sun back. But forget all of that. The Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was just so beautiful that the beauty was a magnificent miracle in itself. The splendor of the face, the looks, the beautiful curly waving hair, the beautiful Dari Mubarak, the beard Mubarak, the beautiful eyes, subhanAllah, the cheeks Mubarak, the lips, the tongue. I mean, what can you say about the lips and the tongue? That, you know, Allah Azza wa Jal effectively was speaking from the mouth of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us the Quran. This is the miracle of the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I'm running out of time, but I'm going to sum it up in this. That, you know, what the scholars write, and it's something amazing. Hazrat Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu ta'ala was a Jewish scholar. And when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, migrated to Madinatul Munawwara, and he said, well, look, I am well conversed in all the books. I know all the divine scriptures. And I know the signs of the final messenger. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go there. I'm going to ask him questions. And if he, depending on what reply he gives, I'll reach a conclusion. And they get to the court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so the intention is he's going to go there. He's going to, you know, use all his knowledge and wisdom that he's gained over the years. He's the leading scholar. And he's going to take that and he's going to specifically think of questions that he's going to ask this person, so to establish whether or not this person is a prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal, and not only a prophet, but the prophet, the final messenger which the world has been waiting for. So he's all ready. He's got all his knowledge. He's got everything ready. And he walks into the court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He takes one look at the beautiful face of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He accepts Islam. He comes into the fold of Islam. He becomes a devotee of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He becomes a blessed companion of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now when he returns back, the people say to him, what have you done? You were a learned scholar, you went there, you were going to ask him questions, you were going to establish whether he's a prophet. You walk in and you just accept his religion and come back. Why? And he says, look at the beautiful face. That cannot be the face of a liar. It is the face of the most truthful person who's ever come to the earth. That was the miracle of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the scholars write, and I'll leave you with this before I move on to my second segment. You know, what the scholars say is even if Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't preach the religion, people would still have started to come into the fold of Islam just by looking at the beauty of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, how amazing is that? Keep that thought in your mind. And inshallah, for the next few weeks, we're going to go through some amazing miracles of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam.
The mercy to the world.
This part of the program, we give you easy good deeds. But I can't think of a easier and better good deed to talk about today than to increase our love of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam by reading about his beautiful life. There are many, many books available on DawatIslami.net. There are many, many books available at the Maktabas of Dawat Islami every Thursday. Even the Madni Treasure of Blessings, the book I mentioned earlier. But make it an intention. Make it an intention. What I'm going to do is every day, I'm going to set a portion of the day. Maybe if you can afford an hour, brilliant. An hour every night, I'm going to read about my beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm going to get a good book. I'm going to get the chosen one. I'm going to get another book on the Seerat of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Maktabatul Madina. You can order it online as well and it can be delivered to your house. And I'm going to get these books about the life of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the teachings of Aka Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I'm going to every day sit down and I'm going to learn about my beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm going to get through as many books and I'm going to dedicate 1 hour of my life every night to learning about the best of creation, the most amazing of creation, the most magnificent of creation, and that will change your life. Second thing, you know, if we recite Durood-e Pak on Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we know that our Durood and Salams are presented in the court of the best of creation. We also know that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hears our Durood and Salam and replies to it. If every morning your salams are presented in the court of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Madinatul Munawwara, how amazing would it be every afternoon, every late afternoon, after every salah, you allocate a time, 2 or 3 minutes, to recite Durood-e Pak 100 times, 112 times say, or 313 times, or Kya Ibaat-e Madina Ki 1,000 times. Just allocate a small time. Recite that after every salah and present your supplications in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. Present your durood wa salam in the court of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is an easy good deed. Not only does it wipe out your sins, not only does it take away ailments and diseases, not only does it get rid of your calamities and your difficulties, but also it will give you true spiritual enlightenment. The question today was, and I suppose for those of you who are listening attentively, you will have figured out the answer. Which Prophet alayhis salam did Allah Azza wa Jal bless with the most miracles? And the obvious answer is the beloved Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the explanation the scholars gave, as I read to you earlier, was that other prophets came at limited times to limited people, but our Prophet is the universal Prophet, the magnificent Prophet, the Habib of Allah Azza wa Jal. And therefore, and Allah Azza wa Jal not only blessed Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with all the miracles that the previous prophets had, but even more. In fact, how many more? We don't know. This is why Allah Azza wa Jal said, you know, the couplet I read, Tere to wasf aibe tanahi se hain bari, hairan hu mere shah mein kya kya kahun tujhe, sarwar kahun ke malik o maula kahun tujhe. What Allah Azza wa Jal said there was this: even your good qualities, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are so many that they're innumerable. If somebody has a million good qualities but they come to an end, that is a defect. But with you, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your good qualities never end. So you don't even have that defect of good qualities ending, because your good qualities continue forever. And that's talking about good qualities. I'm not even onto the miracles of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it makes you appreciate how fortunate we are. And it makes you understand that dua of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam and other prophets who prayed, make us ummatis of your beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Have mehfils in the love of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But above all else, decorate your hearts with the love of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wake up in the love of Aka Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Forget the world, forget the calamities, forget the difficulties, forget the people. Just one. Build your relationship with Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and everything else will fall into place. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The mercy to the world. The mercy to the worlds. The mercy to the worlds. The mercy to the worlds. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.